Greetings, Hoopsheads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Wednesday, March 28th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. A lot of people have a lot of feelings about the game last night, about the team without Steph, Klay, Draymond, and KD. And, you know, I took a lot of good from this game. Obviously, it's tough to score. It's tough to win when you only score 12 points in the fourth quarter. But that first half was really beautiful. The ball movement, the blocks, the confidence from everyone on the court. And it's exactly what I was talking about yesterday with, the talent on this team down the roster. It's a very talented team and can hang with good teams like the Pacers. And unfortunately, the Pacers made their run. And then, you know, everything ended up going poorly in the second half. But we'll talk about that matchup, that game in the first segment. In the second segment, we're going to do a statistical deep dive. We'll just take a look at how these players who aren't used to getting big minutes are doing in those big minutes. And then in the third segment, we're going to go around the NBA, take a look at the playoff standings and see, you know, who's most likely to play the Warriors in the first round in that 2-7 matchup. You can get this podcast anywhere podcasts are available: iTunes, iOS, Spotify, Google Play, and LockedOnWarriors.com, LockedOnSports.com. Make sure you bookmark those pages. You can also find us on Facebook at Locked On Dubs and Locked On NBA Net. Make sure you like and subscribe. Locked On NBA is every single day as well. Locked On Warriors, obviously, every single day. Check it out. It's a bite-sized chunk of NBA goodness every single day. The biggest stories with the local experts. You can catch my written media on Forbes.com. I've also been featured on BleacherReport.com. At Forbes, I write at the intersection of sports, business, and community impacts. And I've written about the Warriors many times and interviewed them and did some X's and O's while I was at Bleacher. I'm also a very, very big fan of this team. As a journalist, I'm not supposed to be a fan, but I'm not pretending like this team doesn't mean everything to me, being from Oakland, from the Bay Area, and loving basketball. I've been a fan since I was a little kid. And as a fan, it's tough to see this team doing so poorly, losing so many games, but, you know, the circumstances are what they are. Second seed locked up, and it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. I've said in the past the Warriors don't need the one seed to make it to the finals, to get past the Houston Rockets. They don't even need the one seed in the finals. But the issue here is they're not healthy, and they need to be healthy to be able to beat the Houston Rockets. They need both of their super-duper stars, their supernovas, Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry, to be able to beat the Houston Rockets, in my opinion, and they absolutely need Draymond Green to play his amazing defense and Klay to keep the Houston defense honest. I think in that first round, you need one of those super-duper stars. Kevin Durant looking like he'll be returning on Thursday, Klay shortly thereafter, and Draymond hopefully will get over this flu bug and be able to play on Thursday as well. Bucks, very good team. But this Pacers game, we'll talk about the Pacers. They're a very good team as well, better than the Bucks record-wise. Victor Oladipo showed us why he's an all-star, nearing that superstar level. He's playing with a ton of confidence. And it's clear out there that the rest of the team plays with confidence as well, obviously. No shortage of confidence from Lance Stevenson. But Nick Collison playing, Darren Collison. Very different players, Nick and Darren Collison. Darren Collison played pretty well. He looks confident, only 1 of 7 from 3, but he was a +9 on the night, one of the highest on the team. Thaddeus Young, Bojan Bogdanovic was left open too many times, 3 of 6 from 3. Miles Turner had some good minutes, but Thad Young, great game. 5 offensive rebounds, 10 total, 2 assists, a steal. And, of course, Oladipo, 9 of 12 from the field, only took 12 shots to get his 24 points, 17 points apiece from Bogdanovic and Thad Young. And You know, that's all they needed to win. 92 points is all they needed to win this game. The Warriors, for a long time this season, were averaging 116 points a game. Only could score 81 tonight. And the scoring has been the issue. But the defense, I really, really appreciate all these good things that we can take from this game. One, defense. The Warriors played very good defense, and I'm not just talking about the highlight blocks from Jordan Bell and Kevon Looney. I'm talking about the rotations. I'm talking about, you know, only allowing 91 points, and obviously 92 points, and obviously the pace is slower, and the Indiana Pacers ended up shooting 48% for the game, but only 29% from 3, 6 of 21 from 3, which means either they were missing shots or we were closing out. The Warriors were closing out, and the Warriors did a good job of closing out everybody, but Bogdanovich, honestly, the closeouts were there, and the Pacers just made a few good shots, big shots. There were definitely lapses. But honestly, you know, when you get 17 offensive rebounds, which the Warriors did, you expect to win. Out-rebounded the Indiana Pacers 51-38. Good things to take from this game. 16 turnovers is too many, but it's not an extravagant amount. Kevon Looney turned the ball over 3 times, so did Zaza and Quinn Cook. 9 blocks, though. 4 from Jordan Bell. And Kevon Looney hit a 3-pointer. Let's be real. Kevon is found money. Kevon is going to be good. He's going to be so good. He's going to be as good as we thought Patrick McCaw would be a while ago. Now people are starting to soften up on Patrick McCaw, starting to give him some flack. But the dude was injured for a long time. He was looking good before he was injured. He played in 5 straight games between the C-dubs and the big dubs, and I don't want to give up on him just yet. I think that it's too early to call that pick a bust or anything like that. I was listening to The Guru and Steinmetz on 95.7 The Game and earlier today, and you know, they were talking about Patrick McCaw as if he was just a lost boy. You know, just like, you know, somebody who should not be worth our time anymore. And you know, I just don't agree with that at all. I think that he's got every tool. He just needs a little bit more time to develop. You're listening to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Stay tuned for a statistical deep dive. And we're back, and we're looking at lineups right now to start this statistical deep dive. Interestingly, the lineups that are the best, you know, from a plus-minus standpoint, include Damian Jones. Jordan Bell, Quinn Cook, Damian Jones, Pat McCaw, and Nick Young is a plus 4.0 in the games that they've played. Only 5.9 minutes, but 15 points in that 5.9 minutes. And, you know, when you have Quinn Cook and Nick Young on the floor at the same time, you're going to be getting up shots. Are they going to be good shots? Not always. Quinn Cook, better decision maker than Nick Young as far as putting up shots. But with Nick Young, you take those shots and you're like, that is what Nick Young does. And that's kind of what they brought him here to do. So who am I to get mad, you know, at him putting up shots that, you know, I wouldn't take in a pickup game. People would look at me like I was crazy. But another 4.0, but only 2.2 minutes, is Quinn Cook, Andre Iguodala, Damian Jones, Sean Livingston, and Kevon Looney. And, you know, Damian Jones didn't really show us too much in the minutes that he's gotten. He's not getting a lot of minutes, obviously, but certainly has something to do with those lineups being fairly good. But as far as minutes are concerned, Jordan Bell, Quinn Cook, Pat McCaw, Zaza Pachulia, and Nick Young has been the lineup that Steve Kerr has been relying on, you know, to start. It's been the lineup that he's been relying on to get certain guys going early. I think that he trusts Kevon Looney off the bench right now more than he trusts Jordan Bell off the bench. And Jordan Bell is getting the starts because he needs that confidence, and Kevon is just going out there and playing. He's doing what he's set to do. But the Jordan Bell, Quinn Cook, Pat McCaw, Zaza, and Nick Young lineup is a minus six, while Quinn Cook, Kevon, Patrick McCaw, JaVale McGee, and Nick Young, which has also seen a good amount of minutes, is a minus five. Just shows they have trouble putting the ball in the basket. In the game against the Indiana Pacers, Quinn Cook took 17 shots. It's plenty. Only 1 of 6 from three. Does that make him a bad shooter? No, it doesn't make him a bad shooter. We know Quinn Cook is a good shooter. They just didn't fall. Patrick McCaw, 3 of 9. 0 of 1 from three. Does that make him a bad player? No, it doesn't. We know what he's capable of. We know what he's capable of doing. He just has to be more aggressive. And we'll look a little bit closer at this fourth quarter. 4 of 17, the Warriors were. 23.5%. They only took 4 3-pointers in the quarter. Kevon was the only one who made one. He was 1 of 1. One, they turned the ball over 5 times. So that's 5 shot opportunities they didn't get a chance to get up. They only had 9 rebounds in the quarter and 3 offensive. But, you know, they missed 13 shots in the quarter. Could have fought harder to rebound the ball. David West, the only person who decided to rebound the ball in a Warriors white uniform, rebounded the ball 5 times. And it's not like the Pacers were playing that much better. Their shots went down, certainly. 11 of 18 from the floor. That's 61% in the fourth quarter. That's the difference in the game. The Warriors were outscored by 11 points in this game and outscored by 13 points in the fourth quarter. You know, the third quarter was a big quarter for the Warriors. They lost their lead, their nice big lead, but they couldn't hang for 4 full quarters offensively. Their defense wasn't that bad. Allowing 61% in the fourth quarter is definitely no bueno. But maybe these guys aren't used to playing that crazy amount of minutes and just started to fade. It just seemed like they couldn't get anything to go. And the one last thing I'll say about this is that, you know, I have faith in the team's ability, that the Warriors' ability to shift their game depending on the personnel. But the Warriors only had 2 fast break points in this game. 2! 24-second chance points, very, very good. And I want them to keep up their work on the offensive boards. They're working very hard. They need, if they're not going to shoot very well, they need to get those offensive rebounds. But 2 fast break points for the Golden State Warriors? They got pulled into Indiana's game, and the pace was just not enough. They need to get out and attack, force turnovers, live ball turnovers, and run the ball down the other team's throat. That is what I'm looking for. And that requires confidence. It requires leadership from guys like Andre Iguodala, who had the only 2 fast break points in the game for the Warriors. The only 2. If you recall, in the fourth quarter, he stole a pass, ran it down the other side for a dunk. The only 2 fast break points in the game for the Warriors. It's just not enough. The Warriors need to get back to playing Warriors basketball, and that means running the ball off made baskets. You know, I'd like to see Quinn Cook, Patrick McCaw, and Andre Iguodala handle the ball with speed and a sense of urgency. Because if they're not going to score the ball that much, they need to get more possessions into the game. They need more opportunities to score. That means they need to play faster. They can't fall into the trap of playing the speed of a slow team. So what the Warriors do, they get out in transition, and this team, as it's constituted with our guys on the shelf, needs to get out in transition. You're listening to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Stay tuned for a look around the NBA. It's that time. It's time to talk about sponsoring the Locked On Warriors podcast. Locked On Warriors is listened to by a connected audience, and smart advertisers are coming to podcasts to get their products out to the people. If your company is trying to increase its exposure, especially in the male 18 to 49 demographic, get at me, AlicoCarter11@gmail.com. I'll give you all the details. Our rates are super reasonable, and you have nothing to lose. And we're back, and I want to do something that I neglected to do yesterday, which is to send Locked On Warriors heartfelt condolences to Jewel Upshaw and the family of Zeke Upshaw. Zeke, playing for the Grand Rapids Drive, collapsed during a game, a G League game, on Saturday, never recovered. He passed away on Monday, and it was a sad moment for everyone involved in the NBA. So we want to send our thoughts and prayers to his mom, to everyone whose life he touched. Now it's time to take a look at the NBA standings. We heard about Kyrie Irving having to get surgery on his knee, out 3 to 6 weeks, same timeline as Stephen Curry, but the Boston Celtics have won 4 in a row and are 3.5 games out of first. Toronto still holding on to that number one spot in the Eastern Conference and the number two spot overall at 55-20. They've pushed ahead of the Warriors, and it's possible if they make the finals and the Warriors make the finals, they wouldn't have home court in the finals either. The Warriors are going to have to win on the road no matter what, especially if they can't put the ball in the basket and start winning games now. Cleveland at 44-30, just lost. Could only put up 79 points in a loss to the Heat in Miami. Dwayne Wade turning back the clock, looking good. It was really fun to watch, except that it wasn't at all fun to watch. And Cleveland is in trouble. 44-30, Philadelphia 43-30, Indiana 44-31. They're right there, threatening Cleveland's opportunity to have home court in the first round of the playoffs. And Philadelphia has won 7 in a row. Indiana just beat the Warriors, won 3 in a row. And Cleveland isn't looking great, especially because Kevin Love is out on concussion protocol now. LeBron is going to have to dig deep into his bag of tricks and keep averaging a triple-double to be able to keep Cleveland afloat. No way they make the second seed, but they cannot afford to fall below fourth. Washington at 41-33 in the sixth spot, Miami 40-35 holding on, and Milwaukee 39-35. Come on, Milwaukee. But Milwaukee-Toronto looking very likely, looking like it's going to be fun. Boston-Miami, obviously a rivalry. And Cleveland-Washington, another rivalry going back to the last decade and even before that. And then Philadelphia-Indiana, fun young guns. That would be the matchup in the Eastern Conference if the season ended today. Houston, 61-14, continuing to win, 110 in a row. Golden State, 54-20, entrenched in that second spot. Nothing to worry about, people, though I would love to hit that 60-win plateau. Wouldn't that be nice? 4 straight seasons of 60 wins. The Warriors have 8 chances to get 6 wins. Portland, 8-2 in their last 10, 46-28. Looking like a 50-win season for Portland. Looking like a 50-win season for Oklahoma City, potentially as well. 44-31, excuse me, in that fourth spot. New Orleans, 5-5 in their last 10 after going on a nice win streak and getting back into the playoff picture. Not exactly firmly entrenched in that fifth spot, as only 2.5 games separate fifth from ninth. The LA Clippers still looking to hold on, as are the Denver Nuggets at 6 games and 5 games above 500, respectively. In the sixth spot, 43-32, are the San Antonio Spurs. Utah, 42-32, half game back. Minnesota, 42-33, half game back, rounding out the top 8. It would be Houston versus Minnesota right now if the season ended today. And I would watch the hell out of that matchup. I think Minnesota could give Houston some fits. You got Karl Anthony Towns, hopefully a healthy Jimmy Butler, who was playing out of his mind before he got injured. And now Karl Anthony Towns making his presence known, along with some really good players. Jeff Teague, Andrew Wiggins, who has his moments, Gorgui Jang. Some really just fun guys. And, you know, a team that can match up with the Houston Rockets at every position. And that is what's exciting about this matchup. They could win some games against Houston. They could push Houston to 6 or 7 games, and we'll see. Golden State-Utah is the 2-7 matchup right now. Obviously, Utah just put the hurtin' on the Warriors. But, you know, in the first round, you expect Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson to be healthy. And if so, then that's a five-game series, maybe six. Portland, San Antonio, that is going to be super fun. And Oklahoma City, New Orleans in the 4-5 would be also very, very fun. Man, the playoffs can't come soon enough, except we need the time for the Warriors to get healthy. That's about as much time as I have for today. Stay tuned tomorrow, where I'll be previewing the game against the Bucks. We'll be doing our Throwback Thursday segment, going back in time. And then the third segment will be a toss-up. Make sure you tune in, enjoy the rest of this beautiful Bay Area day, and stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.